Cassius Clay did his training at Miami Beach, and Hal Conrad talked with Clay in Miami.
Muhammad, it's exciting to be with you again. Let's forget the Ballyhoo Barrage and the name-calling for a moment, and tell me what you really think of Joe Frazier as a fighter.
Joe Frazier is that, just a fighter. He's not a boxer. Joe Frazier's not a left jab artist. He throws a pretty good left hook, but not from the center of the ring. He don't hook off of jabs, two, three, and four jabs, and then a hook. Joe Frazier just gets in close, catches his men when they get a little tired. They always beat him the first two or three rounds. And finally, he'll slip up on them, fake them out, and tag them with a hard hook. And the fellows that he's knocked out haven't been the quality type fighters to get up and to keep coming. They just, when they do get up, they, like suckers, walk right back into the punch. He knocked Ellis down, knocked Foster down, they walk right back into the punch. A good master boxer who can fight Joe Frazier like Ellis did for 15 rounds if it had to go 15. A good master boxer who could fight Frazier like Foster did for the first round, he'll whoop him. But Foster was 188 pounds, he was too small. But a good 215 to 20 pounder, such as myself, moving twice as fast as Foster, hitting twice as hard as Foster, much, much better than Ellis. I'm much, much better than Bonavina. I'm much, much better than Jerry Quarry. So this shows that Joe Frazier is a good fighter, but not a good boxer. And a good boxer, a good heavyweight, I would say Sugar Ray Robinson, or Kid Gavilana, Johnny Bratton, would just play with Joe Frazier.
He doesn't seem to be very impressed with your speed. He told me he thought that Mathis was faster than you are, or just as fast.
That goes to show that he's shocked. Joe Frazier hates to admit it, but Joe Frazier got that title by beating Buster Mathis. So you've got to say that Buster Mathis was his fastest man, because he beat a big fella who wasn't ranked with me. And only I was in exile is why Joe Frazier got great. After defeating Sonny Liston, a man who was much better than Joe Frazier is now. When I was in the tour, I whipped Liston. Even when I wasn't as powerful as old as I am now, strong, I didn't hit as hard. Joe Frazier was a kid coming out of the Olympics. And when I fought Joe Foley, that was my 10th title defense. Then they start recognizing Frazier after I'd won 10 titles. And I predict it will all come out in this fight. You will see a master, beautiful, flashy, dancing master and boxing artist meeting a good, good Olympic fighter. I didn't have to fight Bonavina. I didn't have to fight Quarry. I think if a man's a champion, he should defend his title without return clauses and fight them all. I could have just bided my time, got my license and everything, and fought Frazier for the big money, thinking, well, if I lose, I'll be paid. No, I'm a fast sport. I went out and gave Jerry Quarry, the number one contender, who went 7 rounds with Joe Frazier, whipped him in 3 rounds, 3.5-year layoff, and I ended up super bad, as James Brown say. I was quicker than Frazier. I fought hard. I came off with extra power. Frazier wasn't that strong when he fought Bonavina, and as a matter of fact, the press couldn't get into Frazier's dressing room, and he wouldn't let me in. I found out why later, because he fainted from exhaustion. Now, I didn't have a mark on my face. My face wasn't beat to a pulp. I did something to Bonavina that couldn't be done. He was in better fighting shape than he was when he fought Frazier. So the 3.5-year layoff, and me being the real champion, coming back on a 6-week notice, whooping the two contenders who were Frazier's toughest opponents easier than he did, shows that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm the real heavyweight champ of the world. And when I step in that ring with Joe Frazier, this will be no contest. It won't be close. It won't be rough. It will be no contest. And he's always talking about he's going to come out smoking. Well, you tell Joe he can come out smoking, because I ain't going to be joking. I'll be pecking and a-poking, pouring water on his smoking. This might shock and amaze you, but I will retire Joe Frazier.
Did you ever get the feeling, Charles King, that you'd like to match Cassius Clay with Casey Stengel?
I have a feeling I've been there before. Incidentally, on a little sorrowful note, I'd like to bring to the attention of our audience Harold Lloyd, a great sports fan and one of the great actors of Hollywood, died this evening, age 77 of Hollywood.
He's the fellow that originated those cliffhangers, wasn't he?
That's
where
right.
Where he hanged from the ledge.
Where he did all his own stuff, too. He made Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier look like nothing, the way that guy would hang off the building.
That's right. You know, speaking of Cassius Clay, his brother, I believe his name is Rudy. I don't know the Muslim name, but anyway, he was defeated tonight, which might be something of an omen. We're sitting here in our mutual studios in New York, This is Van Patrick along with Charles King. Now let's get a little reaction around the nation. And let's switch out to the Motor City of Detroit, where Mutual sportscaster Dick Buller is waiting.
Here in Detroit, there are three locations showing the Ollie E. Frazier bout on closed-circuit television: Olympia Stadium, the University of Detroit Memorial Building, and the Fox Theater. Lincoln Cavalieri is manager of Olympia, where the Detroit Red Wings usually play their home games, and he gave us this late report.
We've sold 14,000 seats, including standing room. UAD is sold out there, approximately 8,000 seats there, and Fox Theater is sold out there, 5,000 seats there. Yeah, I understand there's a few scalpers out in the front trying to sell tickets for $30. It's amazing that you see this in a closed-circuit thing, but it's happening. Some of the people have bought them tickets and they try to sell them. People are trying to get tickets all over now, and it's just one of those things that happened once in a century, I guess.
So, here in the Motor City, home for many years of that great heavyweight champion they call the Brown Bomber, Joe Louis, the sold-out sign is up at all locations.
A moment ago, you heard from some of the leading sports writers around the nation. Bob Considine is still with us, and Bob, let's hear from you.
You know, Van, every nation in the world wants a heavyweight champion. He's got to be the very best of his time, but there can be only one at a time. He can't stay there forever, either. If he makes it to the top, well, his manager, his trainer, his backers, and even his fans all think they had something to do with it. They were responsible. And in a way, I guess they were right. And when he fights alone against a man who wants exactly what he's got. There isn't room for both at the top. And later tonight, everyone in the world will know the name of the heavyweight champion of the world.
Let's get some reaction now in New York, and sportscaster Don Creakey is standing by, and Don is over at the Statler Hilton.
Van, I'm located at the Statler Hilton Hotel right across the street from Madison Square Garden. And one of the things you have to be impressed with is the tremendous job the New York City police are doing in keeping the flow of traffic moving. It was estimated earlier today there'd be upwards of 50 or 60,000 people concentrated in a one-block area during the fight, 20,000 inside the garden, and 30 or 40,000 milling around outside. Well, that's not going to happen because the police are keeping the traffic moving. And nobody who's not moving into the garden is allowed to stand around at all. There's electricity about the pre-fight atmosphere, as we'd expect. And everybody's waiting now. As here in New York, it's reported the odds on the fight are absolutely even. So we'll be talking to you after the fight. Now back to you, Van Patrick.
All right, Don. And Tim Ryan, earlier today, talked to a former champion, Gene Fulmer, and also Jose Torres.
George Foreman, the man who many think will be the next heavyweight champion after this issue is settled here tonight. George, how do you see this fight?
Well, I see it as a close fight. You know, they'll determine who will be winner when they face out there in the ring. I know there's no other way of telling, you know, before then. These are both winners, and they're going to both be trying to win. They're not going to settle for a loss, as far as I'm concerned.
This is the classic confrontation, so they say, between a boxer and a slugger. How do you see that confrontation? Does one have an advantage over the other?
Well, they're both, you know, got a lot going for them. Joe Frazier has beat everybody available as far as he's concerned. And, you know, in a title contention, and he's recognized as the champion. I recognize him as a champion.
That was George Foreman. Incidentally, we were at ringside, Charles, in Mexico City when George Foreman won the Olympic gold medal for winning the heavyweight championship. And, of course, he just sort of electrified the world and captured the hearts mainly of Americans when he waved that tiny American flag.
And you and I sat there and we saw him, and that crowd came to its feet that night.
I mentioned a moment ago that Tim Ryan was talking with Gene Fulmer and Jose Torres, and he is.
Former middleweight champion Gene Fulmer. Gene, you're all the way from Salt Lake City to see this fight, so you must have some opinion on it.
Yes, I do have opinion. Of course, I'm writing a story or two for Boxing
Illustrated
magazine, right? Boxing Illustrated, and so they brought me in to view it and give my comments. And I feel very strongly that Frazier's going to win the fight. And if he doesn't, of course, I'm going to have to eat a lot of crow. But I've had to do that before with Moan.
Gene, there's some similarity in his style and yours as a middleweight. Did that influence your opinion?
I try not to think that it did, but I'm sure that it must have because, the better boxers feel that Clay's going to win and the sluggers more or less lean toward Frazier, so I'm sure that there must be some influence in this. Of course, in judging fights, which I've done some, and every other boxer I'm sure has been asked to this sometime or another, we kind of like what we thought we were, and kind of lean that way a little bit. So I'm sure this probably has some part of influencing my prediction on Frazier.
Now, you defeated Ray Robinson, who was a classic boxer, of course, so there's a parallel there, too, for Joe Frazier. How did you beat him, and do you think that Joe used the same attack?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I beat Robinson by putting pressure on him, which is the only way that a slugger can beat a boxer. If you stand back and try to box with him, they'll box your ears off, but if you move in and throw punches and keep covered up, and when you get in close, throw the blows and move far enough away, they're not going to hit you. That's the only way you can do it. And like you say, I did beat Robinson. I beat him 2 out of 3 times. But the second time, of course, he hit me with that one punch that turned the lights out. And I'm not discounting the fact that Clay can't do that to Frazier. I mean, Clay can punch sharp and he can punch hard and he can knock you out with one punch. And he can do this. But I definitely feel that if this does happen, he'll be taking a beating up too in that time.
Thank you, Gene Fulmer. Former light heavyweight champion Jose Torres. And Jose, how do you see this fight tonight?
I said, reluctantly, I'm picking Frazier, hoping that I'm wrong and that Ali wins the fight.
Knockout or decision for Frazier?
Oh, knockout.
When?
If Muhammad Ali goes over 7 rounds, nobody can beat him. I think he'll be the winner. But if he, in other words, if he can take the pressure for the first 7 rounds, he's going to be unbeatable. But I don't think he'll be able to take the pressure for the 7th round.
We'd like to remind you that portions of tonight's broadcast were taped prior to broadcast for release during this sports special. We now pause 10 seconds for station identification. Over this, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And this is 920 on the AM dial, 95.9 on the FM dial, KDHL AM and FM in Faribault, the time 13 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. This is Charles King with Van Patrick. Van, the big moment may be near.
Well, Charles, after sundry introductions of former champions, the house at Madison Square Garden rose to give Joe Louis a tremendous ovation. As you know, Joe has been very ill. He's been out in Denver, Colorado, convalescing. Cassius Clay, resplendent in a red robe he calls the King's robe, was the first to enter the ring to a mixed chorus of cheers and hoots and boos. Mohammed wore high white boxing shoes with several red tassels on each, and he stood in his corner sort of jigging around, smiling at friends and winking. Then he put a savage frown on his face and pretended to be throwing lightning punches as his fans howled in delight. Frazier came in 2 minutes later, preceded by his armed bodyguard. Smoking Joe wore a short-length green robe tied with a yellow sash. Mohammed was cool and almost casual, laughing as Frazier was sweating heavily. And twice, Clay danced across the ring and bumped into Frazier, who glared at him. In round one, Clay took the first round as he outboxed Frazier and landed most of the punches. Clay landed the first 7 blows, including 2 good left hooks, as Frazier tried to get inside. And when Joe landed 1 good body punch, Clay tied him up and then mugged to the crowd that he wasn't hurt.
We are not at ringside. What you have just heard is a summary of round one as received from the wire services.
And?
Now, I don't want to imply that any of you are in a rut when it comes to buying gasoline. But really now, don't you have the habit of going into one station most of the time? One where you get quality gasoline and good service? Well, fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wonder what you do when your gas gauge is getting down toward empty and you're out in a different neck of the woods. Then how do you know the best place to get your gasoline? Well, my advice is to always follow the North Star, because at Revlon's North Star station, across from the courthouse in Faribault, you'll find gasoline that's the highest quality, a price that's a little bit less, and glad to have you service, just like you came there all the time. And what's more, at Revlon's North Star station, you can use either their own North Star credit card or any oil company credit card that you carry. So when you're getting low on gasoline, and you're sort of lost as to where to go to get gasoline, just remember this. Find the North Star. Yes, the North Star at Revlon's North Star in good old Faribault.
You know, Charles, physically, the advantages appear to lie with Cassius Clay. He's one of the largest men ever to reign as the heavyweight champion. Frazier is one of the smallest. The 29-year-old Clay is nearly 4 inches taller at 6'3", and he has a 6.5-inch reach advantage at 80 inches and also is heavier. He weighed 215, and I believe, if memory serves me, that's about a half a pound more than he has ever weighed for a fight. As a matter of fact, Frazier came in, too, at 205, and he's heavier than he has ever been for a fight. Clay, admittedly, is faster, and his punching power, often underrated, can be testified to by his 25 knockouts in 31 consecutive victories. Frazier, whose biggest assets are his power, non-stop determination, and ability to weather the firestorm of the ring, has 23 knockouts in 26 fights. I don't know, after watching Frazier, he looks like sort of a motorized Rocky Marciano, if you remember how Rocky used to bore in from the opening bell.
I certainly do. I think both of them are great as far as left hooks are concerned, because Ali is fast with the old 1-2 left hook, which is better than most fighters. But Frazier, I gather most sports writers think, can give him credit for having power in each fist. But the left hook, again, does the most damage to anybody. And he will duck in and out. But did you see the Bonavino fight?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, I was a little disappointed in Clay's performance in that. And he had to score the knockout in the 15th practically to win the fight.
Well, he claimed, of course, that he just wasn't ready for it. I saw some pictures of him this week where he had practically a big belly. And, you know, he just said he was not in shape. But he certainly is in shape for this one.
You know, Clay has never recognized Frazier as the heavyweight champion, and neither has the cult that has grown up around Clay. Clay was at the height of his ability in 1967 when he was stripped of the championship and banned from boxing for refusing to go into the Army. And of course, we remember him well, and I'm sure our listeners do too, because at that time we were broadcasting live and direct and covering all of the Clay fights, the heavyweight championship fights. But not until October 26, last year, after a lengthy court battle, was Clay permitted to fight again, and he made his return in eloquent style, stopping Jerry Quarry in 3 rounds on December the 7th. He became the first man ever to stop the hulking gentleman from Argentina, Oscar Bonavina. Now let's take a look at what happened, Charles.
Just as a reminder, we are not at ringside, and what you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. Ben?
All right, and here's what happened in round two at Madison Square Garden tonight. Cassius Clay did less dancing and more punching in the second round, and also, according to the reports on UPI, he also took that second round. At the end of it, he waved at Frazier and motioned to the crowd that he didn't consider the champion very much. Clay landed most of the punches again in the second round.
And that's how things stood at the end of round two.
Yes, it's a fact. Revlon's North Star Station in Faribault is the fastest-growing service station in the Faribault area.
The two men, Frazier and Clay, are so different in their styles, both in and out of the ring. They were kept apart throughout preparations for the bout, avoiding any face-to-face confrontation until they were nose-to-nose in the center of the ring to hear their final instructions before the tolling of the bell tonight. Even the weigh-ins were held separately for the two. Frazier emerged from his secret headquarters where he was hidden away on Sunday after a threat on his life to weigh in first, and he was to be followed by Clay to the scales in the same 20-foot square where they are fighting tonight. And after threats were received that Frazier should lose or else, the 27-year-old champion's headquarters were shifted to another hotel here in New York, and the security force that has followed him throughout the last weeks of the growing drama was strengthened even more. And they even accompanied him down the aisleway tonight at Madison Square Garden. It has been an emotional confrontation since that day in January when the contracts were finally signed after 3.5 years of waiting. Both fighters are black, but Clay has called his opponent the White Hope and an Uncle Tom because Frazier more closely meets that ethic of white, middle-class America, as the modest, soft-spoken boy who came out of the scratch out an existing farmland of South Carolina to gain fame and money for fighting his way to the top. It's the story that Joe Louis wrote the first chapter to a generation ago.
Charles? Van, tonight this broadcast is being carried to the facilities of the American Armed Forces Radio Service to armed men in uniform, Americans serving all over the world. And we pay tribute to the young and the young at heart Americans who represent and service in foreign lands. They are still Americans at heart.
Gentlemen, we salute you.
All right, Charles, here's what happened now in round three at Madison Square Garden. Frazier took the third round by a narrow margin, according to UPI, when there was a very slight trickle of blood from his left nostril. Frazier got inside more often in the third and landed several thumping blows to the body and to the head. The round ended with Frazier pummeling a covered-up Muhammad Ali in Ali's corner.
What you are hearing is a summary of a wire service. We are not at ringside. What you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. No, that goes back, Van. We were talking about the ability of each of those men before, the boxing ability and the best punches and so on. When it comes to infighting, they say Ali wants no part of it.
Well, I tell you, you know, most of the fellows who were picking the fight tonight were pointing out that if it went 15 rounds, then Clay could possibly be the winner by a decision. But they figured that Frazier had to catch him early. And Frazier, after having a little trouble evidently in the early stages, is now coming on a little bit at Madison Square Garden in that fight tonight.
It's an amazing thing. Like, you go back to the Bonavina days. Frazier had two tough fights with Bonavina. He didn't look too good in either one. He won, but the point is that Bonavina... Do you think he's an underrated fighter? Do you think that if there wasn't a Frazier or a Muhammad Ali, that Bonavina might well be the number one?
I don't think so. He's sort of a crude type fighter who's just tough and absorbs a lot of punch, but he's sort of the George Chavallo type of fighter who's rugged and almost indestructible. But, you know, Clay, they say he's not a devastating hitter and that he always scored his knockouts apart from the phantom punch of the second Liston fight. And I'll never forget that one. We were in Lewiston, Maine to broadcast that fight. And Russ Hodges, I believe, was with us on the broadcast, and Bill Stern. And I happened to look away for a second, and, of course, I missed the knockout punch. But I discovered later that many other people who were gazing intently at the center of the ring also missed the knockout punch.
They still call it the phantom punch. Nobody seems to have seen it, but obviously somebody must have felt it. You know, Ali has a strong chin. As many of the... Tony, we were talking before. Let's go back to Foreman for a moment. How do you rate... You personally rate George Foreman versus the two top men we have fighting tonight?
Well, I think the best way to talk about Foreman is the fact, Charles, that he is not ready yet. And I think that his manager, Sadler, is doing an exceptional job in bringing him along slowly. And I know that they'll be clamoring now for... a Foreman winner of this fight tonight between Frazier and Clay. But I believe that the youngster, Foreman, is still at least one more year away, and I certainly hope that they'll keep him out of there at least for another year.
You don't think that he's about ready?
No, I really don't. I mean, we've watched him now in about three fights as a professional, and I just don't feel he's ready. He's a big, strong kid, and he's still growing. He can punch with either hand, and he has speed, but I just don't think he has the ring knowledge, the savvy that he needs now to fight a Clay or a Frazier.
There's some discussion now about whether Frazier will win or lose, stay in the boxing game.
Well, you know, you always hear that. Fighters retire more than Sarah Bernhardt, as you know. They retire until they run out of money, and then they're right back fighting again. How many times you hear Clay say?
Oh, yeah.
I'll never fight again. I mean, even before he was suspended, he said he would never fight again, but he still fights.
While we're waiting for more news from our wire services, why don't we pause 10 seconds for station identification. Over this, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
7 degrees, this is 920 on the AM dial, 95.9 on the FM dial, KDHL in Faribault. The time is exactly 10 p.m. in Minnesota.
This is Van Patrick, along with Charles King in the Mutual Network Studios in New York. And now let's take a look at what happened in round four at Madison Square Garden, which is now past history. Frazier also took the fourth round, and now he was getting inside and staying inside. Frazier landed three hard left hooks in the last minute of the round, while most of Clay's shots in the session bounced off Joe's head. In his corner, after the fourth round, Clay, seemingly, according to the reports, was very solemn.
What you just heard was a summary of the last round. We are not at ringside. The reports are received from the wire services. And that's how things stood at the end of round four.
Say, Mr. Motorist, have you discovered that the North Star can be your guide to greater motoring economy and pleasure?
You know, they've talked so much in the buildup of this fight tonight about how strong Cassius Clay is. He's one of the biggest heavyweight champions of all time. Now, he is strong, but so is Joe Frazier. And no amount of bluster is likely to deter Smoking Joe, who is a raging, bobbing, weaving, rolling swarmer who moves in one basic direction, right at his opponent's stomach. And he loves that left hook. His short arms pump like pistons, pumping away with such mechanical precision that he consistently throws between 54 and 58 punches each round. He works almost exclusively inside, crouching, moving in to slam the body. And when the pummeling begins to slow his opponent, when the guard drops to protect that midsection, Frazier then goes to that left hook. And I saw him fight Bob Foster in Detroit. And Foster just didn't have any recollection of what hit him when Frazier unloaded. Frazier is a lot faster than most people give him credit for being. And his trainer has been showing him films all during his training session. Not of Cassius Clay, but believe it or not, of Henry Armstrong and some of the other welterweights and middleweights and fighters who move fast, and teaching him how to move with them and cut them off at the pass, so to speak. And that's what he's trying to do tonight to Cassius Clay at Madison Square Garden.
A great fight in progress. I think boxing has come back. I think this network actually had a lot to do with it, Van, and the STP Fight of the Month, with which we started last year. But it's good to see boxing back. I can remember as a youngster, we used to see the boxing matches in the hometown. And there were the youngsters were coming up, and boxing was something. It changed over the years. I'd like to remind you, we are not at ringside. And what you will hear is a summary of round five coming up as we see from the wire services.
And in round five, Clay took the fifth round when he went back to long-range boxing and bounced lefts and rights off the head of the oncoming Frazier. At one point, Frazier dropped both hands and came in bobbing and weaving and laughing at Clay, daring him to punch him. Well, could get a little dangerous around Madison Square Garden if that happens.
Ever see a red lemon? I got one. With four doors and eight cylinders and a rear view mirror.
Maybe your car runs like a lemon. And maybe what you've got is a dirty carburetor. Because that's all it can take to make your engine run rough and lose power. But there is a solution. It's at your service station right now. New improved STP gasoline treatment. Now it cleans carburetors better, even cleans spark plugs better. Actually helps keep your car in tune as you drive. And a better tuned engine is a better running engine. New improved STP gasoline treatment. Add a can next time you fill up.
That STP gas treatment's really something. They ought to call it lemonade.
New improved STP gasoline treatment. You'll feel the difference.
Charles, I thought Time magazine this week did an excellent story on this fight, and they talked about Joe Frazier being the second youngest of 13 children. He was raised in a four-room shack on a farm outside Beaufort, South Carolina. And on the day he was born, his father prophesied that little Joe would be his famous son. And when Joe was old enough to tend the hogs and plant the okra on the family's 10 acres, he stuffed a feed bag with rags, hung it from an oak tree, and began punching away. "You're going to laugh," he kept telling his brothers and sisters, "but I'm going to be the next Joe Lewis." Frazier's mother was a real church-going lady who taught him respectableness, but he began questioning things that black kids were not supposed to question. Nicknamed Billy, supposedly, because he could hit like a billy club, he was soon getting into scrapes with the man. And so Joe got a little fighting in his early stages. Now, Cassius Clay, as I'm sure almost everybody in America who can read or listen, figures that they know just about as much about Clay as we do. He hung around Louisville long enough to graduate 376th in a high school class of 391. Then he flew to Rome for the 1960 Olympics, won a gold medal as a 178-pound light heavyweight, and returned home to a reception that crippled the town. And so Clay, you know, was handled in his early stages by a group of Louisville businessmen, but he finally broke with them and went out with Angelo Dundee and was going great till he got into trouble with the United States Army.
You know, Clay was, as you know and as I know, very much underrated when he first went into the ring. In fact, when he won the world title 1964 by dethroning Sonny Liston, he was an 8-1 underdog. And tonight, the odds were pretty close as far as his fight against Frazier's concerned. I read something cute about Frazier some time ago. He took a day off, but he suddenly awakened at 2 a.m., was very edgy. He awakened his sparring partners, made them go outside for road work. He usually does this at 6 o'clock in the morning, but he says, "When I run, man, everybody runs." We are not at ringside, and what you now will hear is a summary of round 6 as received from the wire services.
Well, Cassius Clay, using his left jab, often like a long spear, had the edge in the 6th round. Frazier kept boring in, taking shots on his head in order to pound body blows that did not seem to upset Cassius Clay. That's the way round 6 went at Madison Square Garden.
As I told you before, when Frazier says, "When I run, everybody runs," I imagine, and I've stood next to this man, if he looked at me and said run, I think I'd be running a darn good mile, even if I couldn't move getting, you know, in or out of the ring. You've talked with him many times. What's your personal impression of Joe Frazier?
Well, you know, Joe finds his peace in cars and music. He lives in Philadelphia, has about a $125,000 home in suburban Philadelphia. And he has a 6-car garage, and he has 6 cars. And he probably, if he wins tonight, will pick up a couple more and park them out in the street. In addition to the cars, he has a motorcycle that he guns down the country roads at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. Now, he is handled by a group that formed a corporation called Cloverleaf. And they are handling his affairs, and as you pointed out earlier tonight, Joe actually will come out of this fight tonight with more money to him than Clay will receive by something like $200,000, the way they have it figured out. Now, you asked me about Frazier. You know, when you talk to him, he doesn't want to talk to you about fights. He wants to talk to you about his music. And he's got a sort of a bluesy rock and roll band called the Knockouts, and he sees the music as his future. He figures that with the music, he'll be able to spend a little more time at home and or take his family around with him and not go into the heavy training. And he opened his act, if you recall, out in Las Vegas a year or so ago and suffered a broken ankle out there. But he got so carried away by the rock band that backed him up.
Well, he's no better or no worse than some of the singers I've heard recently on various radio stations and on some of the records which my children play off.
You said that about Frazier. I didn't.
I said no better or no worse. Now, this doesn't mean he isn't the greatest or he isn't the worst, but what I've heard him sing, I've understood the lyrics, and that's something.
That is. It
that's
really
half
is.
Half of it right there and then, I'll tell you.
Well, there's no question about it. If he can win this fight tonight here in New York, he will be a big drawing card on the nightclub circuit, and he can pick up a lot of money, but I don't think he'll ever see a payday again like the one he's receiving tonight. It's almost unbelievable when you stop to think that promoters would put up a total of $5 million, top money, put it in escrow, and give each fighter $2.5 million. We were talking about it in the studio earlier today, and I said, you know, probably they could have got away if they'd offered maybe $1 million to each fighter. But that ruled out a lot of promoters.
$2.5 million per man. But, of course, there are a lot of cuts out of that, too. A lot of people have to be paid. I guess a lot of it's written off, but you still walk away with $1 million out of $2.5 million. It's not bad.
No, that's true. That's not bad. I mean, that's a great payday, and the greatest sports payday in history.
If Muhammad Ali wins tonight, Van, what do you think the future holds for him, excluding the review in the Supreme Court?
Well, that, of course, will be his prime concern, and he will give you the impression that he's not too concerned about what the courts will do. But I just don't believe that. We spent a lot of time with Clay when we were broadcasting the heavyweight championship fights live. You know, it's an interesting thing about Cassius, and I still call him that because I don't recall anywhere he legally has changed that name, but maybe he has. But, you know, when you talk to him individually, he's a very exciting young man. But if one other person shows up, he's on stage. At the weigh-in today, he put on a show that you likes of which you've never seen. And he screamed and yelled all during the weigh-in today.
I like to remind you, we are not at ringside. And what you hear during the round summaries
is a summary of the rounds as received from the wire services.
You know, I talked with Cassius Clay's wife today. She was having lunch at Toot Shores, and Gene Alanek, Wick, and I were at the next table. And I started to walk by her. We had a tape recorder with us, by the way, and we were interviewing some of the folks there. And there happened to be a young man with them who recognized the old announcer and spoke to me. And I said, you know, Mrs. Clay, I'm not going to ask for your comment on the fight tonight. And she says, well, I know only two words about fighting. No comment.
Reminder, we are not at ringside. What you will now hear is a summary of round seven as received from the wire services.
Clay's boxing skill and reach kept him in charge in the seventh round. Once again, he finished the session with a contemptuous wave toward Joe's corner. Near the end of the round, Frazier backed Clay into a corner, and he pummeled him in the body, landed two shots to the head, while Clay contented himself with jabs. Both times, Clay shook his head, and I imagine that would indicate that he wasn't hurt.
And that's how things stood at the end of round seven.
Remember back when people used to pick the best eating place on the highway by watching where the truck drivers pulled in? Well, you can find some pretty good restaurants that way, you know. It's a good way to find a service station, too.